Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A very warm welcome to you all, to St. Cattle's and St. Margaret's, for our service of home worship on this second Sunday of Lent. We come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, united in prayer, as we walk with Jesus toward the cross and the glory of his resurrection. We pray that we may have the grace to follow in his footsteps and come with him to the glory of his kingdom of light and peace. Let us pray. Father of glory, holy and eternal, look upon us now in power and mercy. May your strength overcome our weakness, your radiance transform our blindness, and your spirit draw us to that love shown and offered to us by your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we come into the presence of our Heavenly Father, let us first seek his forgiveness of our sins, that we may know his peace in our hearts. Lord Jesus, you reconcile us to one another and to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you intercede for us with your Father. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. grant that all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion may reject those things that are contrary to their baptism, and follow in the way of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In response to Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. My God, why have you forsaken me? From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. My God, why have you forsaken me? All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to God, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. My God, why have you forsaken me? To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall all bow who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. My God, why have you forsaken me? A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the Father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the Father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distress made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. If anyone to become my follower, says the Lord, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Listen to the Gospel of Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The events in today's Gospel come just after Peter has proclaimed Jesus as the Christ. After the confession of Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for that fateful final journey to Jerusalem. He teaches them how he is to suffer rejection by the elders, Pharisees and scribes, and how he must be killed before rising again after 3 days. Peter is outraged and begins to protest. But he's stopped in his tracks by Jesus, who says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not on the side of God, but of human beings." For Jesus, the only thing that was important was that he remained faithful to his heavenly Father. "Thy will be done" was the only thing that mattered to Jesus. Jesus understood the way of the cross as the way of love. He'd been sent because God so loved the world. And it would be through the horror of death by crucifixion on the cross that Jesus could arrive at the glory of the resurrection, the great victory of life over death, of love over hatred, bringing the promise that never again would his people become separated from God. But the way of the cross, the way of love, is not one that Jesus walked for us or instead of us. In the gospel, Jesus makes it clear that his disciples are to join him on the way of the cross. Jesus walked the way of the cross for love of us. He revealed it to be the way of love, and he calls us to follow him. And if we wish to follow Jesus, we too have to follow the way of the cross, the way of love, to learn to love as he loves us. The way of the love is the way of the cross because it is not an easy path to follow. It will mean denying ourselves of all that prevents us from loving others as we should. It means taking up the crosses, the challenges which come our way, which can cause resentment, fear, and doubt, which can prevent us from loving our neighbour as ourselves. Following the way of the cross, the way of love, will mean looking deep into ourselves, confronting our own feelings, prejudices, and biases, and of ridding ourselves of all that keeps us from following the way of God, the way of love, with all our hearts and with all our minds. If we are to grow into the people God created us to be, people of love, followers of the God of love. For we are taught by Jesus that we are, above all things, to love God with all our heart and our neighbours as ourselves. The good news for us is that although Jesus walked toward the cross alone, we do not. Jesus, such is his love for us, is at our side every step of the way, encouraging us, strengthening us, picking us up when we fall. The way of the cross is our assurance that Jesus is with us every day. It is our assurance of his unfailing love for us, a love that will transform us in his image as we learn through the trials and experiences of life to love as he loves us. Amen. In the power of the Holy Spirit and in union with Christ, let us bring our prayers for the Church and for the world to our Heavenly Father. We pray for the Church throughout the world, for the leaders of the Church, among them Andrew, our Archbishop, and Mary, our bishop. We pray for the clergy and people of our diocese and for our own ministry area, that the church may faithfully work with Christ to proclaiming the saving love of God to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the people of the world, for victims of war, violence, and oppression. We pray for all suffering the effects of natural disaster and for those suffering from famine or drought. May there be peace where there is conflict and hope where there is despair. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our own community, for our families, friends, and neighbors. We give thanks for all who serve the needs of the vulnerable. May Christ make his home in our hearts, that through us the light of his love may shine in our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need, for those who are sick, for those who are bereaved. We pray for the lonely and the isolated, and for all in any kind of need. We hold in our hearts before God those known to us who are in need at this time, and all whose names are recorded in our intercession books. May they be strengthened by the Holy Spirit and consoled with the love of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have died. We remember before God our own departed loved ones, and we pray for the recently departed, and for those whose anniversary of death falls at this time. May they share the eternal glory of heaven in the company of all the saints. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us bring all our prayers to our Heavenly Father as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, "Peace I bequeath to you, my own peace I give you. A peace the world cannot give, this is my gift to you. The peace of the Lord be with you and with all those whom you love." Let us pray. We beseech you, Almighty God, look upon the heartfelt desires of your humble servants and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defence against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just before our blessing and our final hymn, I'd like to thank you all for joining us, our family here in Gethligae, for our service of home worship this morning. It's really lovely to have you with us. I wish you all a very safe, healthy and peaceful week to come. Hope very much that you will be able to join us once again next Sunday for another service of home worship. The Lord be with you. Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Shut up.